My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
That's a nice one there.
What makes it nice?
Well, it's just got a lot of good stuff growing in it.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
You still smell it?
No. Do you?
Matter of fact, I do, Kirsten. Yeah, I still do.
Okay.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Only 39 more floors.
Should have done some more yoga this morning.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
Toxic, is it?
Maybe.
I craft custom concrete creations. From a one-of-a-kind kitchen counter to a Japanese-style bathtub. And later...
We're standing in water surrounded by sharks?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Some never-before-seen footage floats to the surface of my Shark Week misadventure.
There's a weird patch of warm water here, Sean.
I'm gonna move over here.
Oh, God.
This is a green countertop for a kitchen. It's made of concrete. It's heavy. If you look closely, you can see that it's inlaid with a, I believe that's an ammonite. Here's some abalone. Over here, we have another countertop. This one's purple, predominantly, or lavender, if you prefer. Also with some green, or perhaps jade, or chartreuse. It, too, is inlaid with some creatures reminiscent of a seaside motif. Also concrete, very heavy. Roughly 700 pounds. Who, you might wonder, is the type of person that would put into their kitchen a 700-pound piece of concrete, jade-colored, chartreuse, lavender, purple, with sea life in it? I don't know. But I'm curious about the person who makes them.
In Moss Landing, California, in the shadow of towering smokestacks, there's a field of dreams. Concrete dreams, that is. Functional creations of every shape and size, all manufactured in this unassuming red structure, with, of course, a concrete shingle hanging out front. Inside, there are forms and molds and buckets and concrete artists and a cool showroom and all kinds of other stuff going on.
Gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm Mike.
I'm Jack.
Jack and?
Mark.
You're the proprietor.
I am the proprietor, yes.
I know that because the name of this place is?
Mark Concrete.
Right. Obviously, you make concrete things, but you could probably sum it up better than that.
Well, we make, you know, in a very broad term, decorative concrete. Concrete countertops is probably the most common thing we you see and hear of.
Uh-huh.
But we do fireplace components. We do windowsill, window trim. We do sinks. We do things that...
What's up with the purple?
A customer of mine has a thing for purple.
And what about the seashells and stuff jammed in there?
About 6 years ago, when I started the business, I did a few little pieces with seashells and rocks and pebbles in them that were just kind of a thing I was thinking about.
Right.
And it sort of caught on. So people come to me and they want me to do that kind of stuff all the time.
All right.
So,
and Jack, you okay with this?
I am.
You've got no problems with the purple?
Well,
the chartreuse,
a little bit.
Whatever.
It's on the customer.
What are we going to do today? What am I going to learn? What can I do?
Well, we're going to do projects for three different customers we're working on right here. The fire pit and this countertops are for one. We got a little special sink we just manufactured. I fashioned it after an ammonite, which is a extinct sea creature. And
if they're extinct, where do you get them?
Get them shipped to me from a place in Tucson. There's a fossil broker in Tucson. They come. Most of them come from Madagascar.
See what happens when you ask questions? One minute you're just talking to a guy that makes counters, and suddenly you got a line on extinct fossils out of Madagascar vis-a-vis Tucson
right.
Through a private dealer.
Right. Well, all I have to do is call them up and order them, and they send them to me. So, I mean,
what a country.
So, first thing we're going to tackle is a fire pit.
All right. Who's getting the fire pit?
The fire pit is going to Sunset Magazine. They're doing this project called Ultimate Outdoor Kitchen. They turned a courtyard, which used to be, a volleyball court, into this outdoor kitchen. So they got this enormous outdoor barbecue.
Let me sum up. You went to a party at Sunset Magazine. You hooked up with one of the girls over a volleyball game. And now suddenly you're redoing their whole outdoor because you know a guy in Madagascar that has a line on extinct shells vis-a-vis Tucson. And now the concrete business and the whole lavender color thing is taking off.
Right. But don't tell my wife, okay?
I won't. All right. We should... At this point in the show, you know, I should probably be doing something. Sorry.
Right.
What do you
got? We're going to mix this concrete right now. Jack's going to... he's going to kind of show you what to do here.
Okay.
And we're going to use this mixer right here. I'll plug it in, Jack. You get it rolled out there.
Yeah, Jack, this is simple. You tell me what to do and I'll do it.
You got it.
Kind of the way Mark usually does with you, I'm sure.
Hook our air valve up.
Uh-huh.
Let's raise up the ram. Maybe it was already going.
Top speed.
Yeah.
That hissing seems to indicate a certain loss of pressure. Yes, that's the word.
Well, never had this happen before.
Don't worry, it's probably me. It happens everywhere I go. I got a negative energy field or something. Are we going to have to do this by hand?
Well, we may have to help it.
All right, no, whatever you have to do.
All right, let me place the bucket.
Oh, yeah. Now she's working. Well, don't we have to put some ingredients? Oh, I guess we sip that through there.
Yes, you can. You can grab the water.
Why is it white?
That is Polyplex.
Polyplex.
Glue.
So this is glue and water.
It is.
You buy the Polyplex like Polyplex, or do you mix the water and the glue to make the Polyplex?
Polyplex comes like that. We just mix the water with it.
That is convenient. What is this?
That is cement.
This is the cement?
Lehigh White cement.
Toxic, is it?
No. Maybe.
I wouldn't recommend having these on when you're working with the cement. That will ruin your love life for a week. It'll dry your hands out so bad you think you're turning into an alligator.
I might improve my love life.
Oh, okay.
That might be the whole different feel I'm looking for. What's this?
Black aggregate sand.
Basalt sand,
basalt.
Black aggregate.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, show them what they do with a mixer, how to run this mixer, Jack.
See that high mode?
It'd be a real nuisance doing that by hand. Yeah, I figured you were there for a reason.
Yeah.
That's good?
If it comes up, we'll find out. There we go. Temperamental like a woman.
I didn't say that.
All right.
All right.
I lift the lever, you pull the bucket. And that is the face mix. This would be your weapon of choice.
Hopper gun?
Yeah, it is a hopper gun. We will load that with that color cement.
Yeah, this is just the kind of thing that people would do to me. Aim that and pull the trigger. I'm going to watch you do it first.
Okay.
So as not to destroy the fire pit.
Here the idea is you fill that with, put mud in that, and dump it in the bucket, in the hopper. Whenever he needs it, you just make sure you got it ready for him. You got to kind of be following him around with it because he needs it when he needs it.
Good. I hear you.
All right.
Down into the gun, and we start to spray and go back. And you just do the outline, the border. And I'm gonna get halfway through this, and I think you should take over.
I can totally do this, yeah.
Keep yourself in there, and once you're in there, you're good to go.
You gotta beat it up a little bit. Agitate it.
There you go.
I'm running low, Jack.
Stop.
You got any goggles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait.
Get it?
Oh, jeez, Jack. What the heck, man?
Come on. Sorry, man. Making a fire pit.
part of the fire pit is this?
That would be the top.
This is the pre part.
All right.
Covers up. This is like a shell or a, what do we call fascia?
Right.
Jack, I need it when I need it.
I know. Again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very needy. Nice. Thank you.
Now, this is about the most critical part of doing this work.
Yeah.
We've got to really be careful. That's why we got so many guys here. You know, we'll be here for 20 minutes, a half hour with three, four guys to get this done.
Right. Check out the footwork, Dave.
Tapping on the ground.
State of the art?
Yeah.
This is how we go.
This is how we do it.
This is where we are in 2009.
Yep.
I've only been here a couple of minutes, and I'm not one to complain, but I'm fairly sure this is a design flaw.
Because to get up underneath here, you got to tilt this, and when you tilt this, this
guy's blowing it at you. You're blowing,
I was blowing it right into my crotch, is what I was doing there.
Well, all right, done.
Done? All right, it's been fun. I'll see you around.
All right. Well, we got a couple more things we're gonna do today.
Oh, good. Good.
Coming up. I pour my heart into mixing up Mark's secret blend of cement.
They weigh like 150 pounds.
But the heavy lifting takes a toll.
I'm gonna go crawl over here and crap in the corner.
And later.
We got something in the net here.
In the Shark Lagoon, I come face to face with danger.
Very careful, the thing doesn't escape on us.
Okay.
But is that danger really a shark?
Well, with those sunglasses, you have a certain menacing quality that I think really is going to live on for generations.
We've got these two countertops here, also for the Sunset project. But what we haven't done yet, we still need to get the large aggregate. So we're going to have you measure out the aggregate and fill the buckets.
All right.
So we're going to go outside for that. That's over. Aggregate storage is way over on the other side of the yard.
I'll follow you.
We're heading over there.
We're going to the aggregate. The aggregate right. Store?
Aggregate storage.
Oh, storage. I got to say, Mark, I like what you've done with the place.
Yeah, it sort of takes on an ambience.
It really does.
On its own, doesn't it?
Now you got the boats up on there, whatever that is. And what is that, a hydroelectric plant? Or...
Yeah, that's a Moss Landing power plant, largest power plant in California.
Well, you certainly do have great access to it.
We're going to fill the buckets. A 5-gallon bucket holds about 50 pounds of material usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Jack went to get the mix sheet. So,
hey, Jack, is that the mix sheet?
That is.
Let's have a look at this thing, huh?
All right. So we need two batches for this.
Mm-hmm.
They're both 850 pounds. You're going to have to do this. Everything's times two here. What we need here is the stones called 3/8 gold, and we need 289 pounds of it for each batch. So you need 289 times two. Now we need a shovel.
That's what we need is a shovel.
This is not a rocket science guy.
No, that's why I'm saying I'm your guy for this. Which if you have...
you get the rock in the bucket, you're spinning around the outside here. You want to make sure you get the blast. You got to keep your eye on the scale, because if you get over 50 pounds, you got to dig it out of there.
Well, turns out it is rocket science.
Yeah, 41.6 pounds right now. There you are.
49.6.
So you need a handful and you're done. That's one bucket. No.
Jeez.
Now you overfilled it there.
I feel sick about it.
Ingredient we have. Black chipping board. And more.
Right. Now, seriously, how important is it to get the measurement just right?
You start varying your ingredients, you're going to start changing your color, the final color of the mix and the final look of the mix.
I wonder if that's radioactive.
Guy at the very bottom gets this job.
He's this guy.
You're getting better. You're not too bad. I need another bucket of wine.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
You drive forklift?
In my sleep.
Take it over to the right out by the outside mixer just before you go into the bin there.
All right.
Go slow so you don't drop the buckets because you'll have to do this all over.
Maybe choke? No. Maybe this goes? No. To be operated only by authorized personnel. Well, there's a problem.
Turn the key off, and then back on.
Key's off. Oh, I got it.
All right. Okay. Bring it right in here, Mike. That's good. Jack's going to use the forklift. He's going to get rid of some concrete. Got to put it in the dumpster there.
You want me to grab that thing while I'm on it?
Yep.
Watch behind you so you don't run into the countertop.
Right.
Okay, just raise it up a little bit above the lip here, and then we'll unload it.
Okay, get up there. Okay.
Where do you want the lift?
Find a parking spot.
Uh-oh.
Got her stuck.
Who put that there?
I don't know. Who did?
I think that might have been me.
Ah, shoot.
I'm on your mixture.
Stuck underneath the forklift.
That's awkward. Donk on it.
All right.
Good
all
deal.
Right. Let's pull this out of the way. Let's get it over here.
Yeah. We should pull everything out of the way. Look out, Doug Ed will pick you up.
Don't park it yet. You ain't done yet. Tack it, take it on the street in the front.
There's another batch on a pallet?
Yeah.
Start over.
Story of my life, Mark.
We're gonna get that damn forklift stuck, and I don't want that to happen.
I know we can do this, guys. And back to the mixer.
All right.
So close. That was fun.
Jack, you show them what to tell them what to dump in the mixer and when to dump it.
How many babies you reckon had to go into a bucket before they actually put that on there?
And babies can't read anyhow.
Exactly. So what's the baby's going
to
look at that and go, you know what? Good tip. Yeah. I was going to go head first into that thing and roll down a mountain, but now, no. I'm going to go crawl over here and crap in the corner.
So right. We'll use that whole pallet?
Half of this and that whole thing.
Yep, so dump about 4 buckets of rock in there.
A 1,000 fingernails. Going down a blackboard. All at the same time. That's what's going on over there. What's this?
That is color.
What color is it?
Oh.
One, two, three. Aggregate, color, cement, water, and then some water reducer stuff to reduce the water you just put in, then some more sand and some more rocks. Actually, it's looking more like rocket science every minute.
These buckets full of this, they weigh a lot more than 50 pounds.
Yeah. Coming up, I shake things up at the cement factory.
What?
Then I slap that cement silly.
Hey, perfect.
Then,
right,
this is the tool, honestly. I need an unusual tool for an unusual job.
That's something.
Okay, just dump that bucket right in there.
Note to self, don't fill the buckets up so much.
All right, now we just want to broadcast this out with your hands. Push it all, just push it around so it's covering the form.
And this is a counter, again, we're working on?
Yeah, that's the counter. We're going to turn the vibrator on in a minute here.
We got a vibrator? Sweet. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're compacting the concrete now. So, nice and even, the strip is getting.
Yeah.
That's called consolidation.
The top of the counter's on the bottom of this?
Right. It's up, everything's upside down.
Even it out?
Yeah. You look like that over there.
All right, these are tampers. We tamp the concrete with these, and what they do, they force the air out of the concrete. They got an open grid in them, so when you're pushing down on the concrete, you're
packing them more, it forces the air out, gets the air bubbles down.
Right.
One pass on the whole thing before we put the mesh in. We're done with the vibration now. All right. Now we're going to, next thing we're going to do is we're going to place the reinforcing in this piece.
And it's that stays very, a part of the counter?
Yeah, that's part of the counter. If any cracks wanting to start, that'll stop the crack from happening.
So we just lay the whole thing on there?
Yeah, we're just going to lay it on here. Should be at least an inch clear all the way around from the edges of the wall here.
Looks about right.
That's it.
So the carbon fiber stays in, and the rebar stays in, too.
Oh, yeah, that's the structural tension, what we call tensile reinforcing in the concrete.
Yeah.
Just the weight of the piece itself could break it in half if it were handled improperly.
Right. Well, I'm no expert, but I'm guessing we're going to pour the rest of this mix on top of this.
And I think what we'll do is we're going to pour that one next.
You say that because the top of this should match perfectly
the top of that. Right.
And to make sure that happens, use the exact same mix.
Right. Push this rebar and mesh down into the mud. If I have to get up on the table, do it. And then I work it down in. Put that vibrator on a minute again.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's good. All right, all I got to do now is mix another batch of concrete.
Oh, God. Oh, that looks great. They're beautiful. What?
Screening now, it's just like a sawing motion back and forth.
Yep.
It'll build up the mud in front of the screed and distribute it evenly across the surface.
Screeding is a way of getting a smooth, perfectly flat surface. Concrete's added here and there to fill in any holes.
Better go off on a diagonal, that's it.
I see.
We can let that sit now for a while. Pour that one, and then we'll come back and work the edges on both of them.
Okay. All right, so this takes how long to set?
Well, we got to do the edges. We got to do the edges right now.
All right.
I just grabbed the wrong vibrator.
that's something. This is the tool, honestly? Oh, dear.
Coming up, the concrete goes crazy.
Concrete being what it is, it doesn't wait for you.
You work for it.
First, we're going to go taking away the pour line that we created by the lag time of the pour by shimmying it. And then you'll go behind me with your vibrator.
That's the awkward sentence.
Just like the table vibrator, the hand vibrator compacts and smooths out the concrete that's on the other side of the form.
That's right. I've had a lot of jobs. This is a good one. Thing ought to be a carnival prize or something. So more concrete's going to be blown into here now?
Yeah, we're going to put the first coat of backup on this. Right. And it's got the fiberglass in it, and it's got the structural mix. And then we got to do two more coats after this, but we want to get this one on now. This will get too dry if we let it go any further.
natural mix contains fiberglass, Polyflex, and concrete, and it's stronger than just regular concrete alone. Since the outside layer is already on, the structural mix can look a little messier.
Concrete being what it is, it doesn't wait for you. You know, you got to just kind of deal with it as it...
You work for it.
It owns you once you started the project until you have it under control.
So in real time, how long has this been sitting here?
We poured it about 2 hours.
It's been 2 hours, okay, and it's still not ready to be to do
it.
Well,
we can, we're gonna, it's ready to be floated at this point. It's much stiffer than it was when we poured it. It's stiff enough to allow us to use a finishing tool on it.
Mm-hmm.
And these countertops, because they're outdoor countertops and there's a large overhang where people are gonna sit, the bottom side of them has to be finished a little better than we normally would do when you have a kitchen countertop that's...
Oh, I see what you mean. So you're saying this will be hanging off the edge.
Yeah, part of this is overhang. Like this, there's about a 12 or 14 inch overhang.
But how high off the ground will it be? It'd be like 3 feet.
3 feet off the ground. Yeah. You can't see it.
So your level of craftsmanship is such that you want to make sure the bottom looks nice enough for those people who perhaps pass out and then come 2 hours later, look up at the bottom of your counter.
It's a tactile thing.
Oh.
You don't want to reach underneath this countertop and catch your hand on a rough piece of concrete.
What good reason would a fella have for reaching his hand under the countertop just to start groping around there?
Bubble gum?
Exactly.
I don't know.
All right, so for people who stick their gum under their counter, you want to make sure they have a nice, smooth,
right,
tactile, pleasing surface.
Right.
You know, fine. Okay. All right, you meant you were going to float it.
Yeah, this is a float. Either they're made from magnesium or aluminum. The type of metal that you actually rub across it, surface of the concrete have different functions.
You're saying that the type of surface on the tool,
right,
can affect the job it does on the concrete.
Absolutely. This is a big float. This is a small float. This is a small float.
And these are both magnesium?
Both magnesium or both aluminum. I'm not sure what the makeup on the actual metal on these are. Both do the same job. I use a small one like this on the edges. I want the edge of this to be uniform all the way down through here. If I were to leave that alone, you see that. It'd be all crumbly looking on the bottom.
On the underneath.
Right. The leading edge, you hold in the air a little bit.
Yep. So you use the far edge.
Dig in, yeah. So the far edge is just kind of... I'm going to let you run this guy around the thing, and whenever you need a
little
spot, I'll use the big guy.
The fire pit and countertop will take another day to complete, but Mark wants me to see a finished product, a concrete bathtub, which needs to be pulled out of its mold.
So this piece we poured last night, we finished this at 9 o'clock.
And this is also part of the sunset thing?
No, this is for another client.
I was going to say, man, you got a fire pit and a bathtub next to each other.
Well, this is a special soaking tub, and we're going to actually try to pop this from the form this afternoon.
Why a concrete bathtub?
Well, it's a custom shape. It's a very deep tub. You can fill it with water up to your chin.
Well, I may go ahead and take a pass on the water part, but I'd love to sit in one of your...
Well, we wouldn't put water in it. It'd be kind of cold.
Put concrete in it.
Right. I want to do is pull a side panel off of here. So there's several screws in here that need to be backed out. There's a start right there.
Yep.
And there's probably six or eight of them holding that panel on. While you're doing that, I'm going to pull off these little edge forms on the back.
Great.
Now all you do is pick this panel up and just set it over here.
Great.
That's the finished side of the tub. Those are pebbles.
Ah.
Beach pebbles. Thing about the tub is, I'm not sure how easily it's going to come off. Now, I do have this is an air hose here, and we have air ducts that go up inside here, so I can shoot
air
up.
Just blow it right out of
there? Well, yeah, it'll blow it off, but I've blown them up, too, so...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You've blown tubs up?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's got to be hazardous.
To blow them up, I mean, you put the crack in them, and they're no good. You know?
Oh.
That's bad enough. You
not
know, without them, it's not going to fly all over the place on you, but...
All right.
Step one is to remove all the melamine form strips.
Right. I think I got all the melamine, I think.
Okay, give me some air, Jack.
Step two, pump air between the mold and the tub to separate it.
So you're listening for a crack? I mean, how do you know when it's...
Well, you'll hear it. It'll go crack. I've actually had these pieces pick up.
Unless the tub itself cracks.
Right, the tub cracks and it's...
And that's that.
Sayonara.
coming up.
Don't hit the concrete.
Right. I try not to destroy Mark's work of art.
Talk still didn't pop?
No.
But Mark's work of art tries my patience. And later, a letter from three sorority sisters.
This is a good one.
Dares me to come face to face with a deadly, terrifying creature of the deep.
Think they bought that?
I hope not.
Now we use the lift to raise the tub into the air.
You see this edge here in these corners?
Yep.
You don't ever want to hit your head on those, okay?
You set out like a guy who might hit his head there once or twice.
Right.
Once we get the tub into the air, gravity will do the job of separating it from the mold.
That's enough right there. Gravity's taken over now.
But when gravity doesn't do its job, you gotta bring the hammer down.
I don't think it pops the cock.
What?
It's not popping the cocking.
Goose it.
I felt something right there. Yep. There it is.
Yep. Get out of here. That's handsome. Look at that. That's great. I love that.
I don't know. You want to try it out? Go ahead and sit down in it. You can see how deep it is.
With my boots and everything?
Yeah, it won't hurt anything.
It's concrete, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, you could drown in this.
Drown yourself. Yes, you could.
Why don't more people have tubs like this? Well, I don't understand the point of those little tubs.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's a modified Japanese soaking tub. It's a Korean soaking tub.
Yeah, you can almost feel it. You can almost feel the sudsy water right up to here. Little rubber duckies floating around.
We got to finish that fire pit.
Out of the tub, into the fire?
Into the fire.
More spraying on layers and rolling and smoothing and nailing forms on. It just really never seems to end.
Here's a question. Anybody else's back hurt? How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right now.
Jack?
Yeah.
You solid? Juan, back okay?
I'm okay.
These guys are money. My back is killing me. In other words, that's my way of saying goodbye. How long is this going to take, seriously, until you're completely finished?
We got another couple hours yet.
All right. I'm going to use my imagination, Juan. It's lovely meeting you.
Bye.
Thanks for your help. Guys, back
you're
to
welcome.
Work. Hours from now, long after we're gone, the scraping will continue and the screeding and the shimmying and, of course, the vibrating. And eventually, the countertops will be in place and the fire pit will be in use. And I wonder what it's all going to look like. Good one. Pulled it off the internet from three ladies named White Rose, Sierra, and River Girl, who claim to be sorority sisters at Sigma Delta Tau up in Syracuse. They write, "Dear Mike, the girls in my sorority just love, love, love dirty jobs, and we were wondering if you could settle a bet. Almost hate to read any more. When were you the most scared? Was it painting that bridge in Michigan?
Whoa. All right, this is nuts.
Was it getting bitten by those sharks in Bimini?
Just unbelievable.
Or was it working on the water tower in New York? Now, this is dangerous, man.
It certainly is.
No, I mean, this is a very dangerous job. We're curious, and frankly, we think you're kind of cute when you're frightened. I love sorority girls. But it's a tricky question, because of the three you mentioned, I'll probably get bitten by the shark, but the truth is, the most frightened I've been in the last 5 years wasn't with any of these examples. It was not long after I got a call from the network asking if I would host Shark Week for the first time. And I said, sure. I mean, who wouldn't, right? But I was nervous because I wanted to make sure I did a good job, which meant we needed to find some sharks. So we called a guy who guaranteed we would find sharks. Guaranteed.
So, taking his advice, we headed out to the Elkhorn Slough Reserve. This ecological treasure provides a much-needed habitat for hundreds of species of plants and animals. But I was only interested in one particular animal.
We're standing in water surrounded by sharks?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Why do you do this, and how long have you been at it?
We've been doing this for the last 10 years, and it's just enables us to better monitor the stocks of these animals and protect them over the long term. You know, the better you understand, the better you can protect them. And as we're figuring it out, it's appearing that this is a shark and ray factory. A lot of these animals spend most of their time in the open ocean and then periodically visit the slough inland marine estuaries to have, you know, pups and mate. And...
Great. I'm in a shark factory. Who are these people over here?
This is my team, mostly UCSC students. We come here every year, beginning in the spring and throughout to the end of the fall, and conduct these surveys. Let's get equal people on either side.
But to understand these sharks better, well, first you got to catch them.
So the idea is you stretch out the net and basically trap everything on this side of it.
Everything that's coming in and everything in the back will be trapped going out.
Yeah.
Well, you can see the volunteers over there a little further up in the reserve. They're walking through the canal, essentially, attempting to herd the sharks in this direction so they can be temporarily captured in the net, tagged, released, tracked, etc. They volunteered to do that.
It's midday now. Still, no shark. I'm sitting there, trying to look calm, but bubbling up inside of me is a fear that my network bosses will be so displeased with my job here today that I will soon be standing in an unemployment line.
What I'm doing now is monitoring the net. The net that we stretched across the estuary is being kept afloat by buoys across the top of it. If those buoys start to shake, it means that a shark, in all likelihood, has swum into the net. At that point in time, I go out with Sean and retrieve the shark and put it into one of these cages here. In theory.
Sean?
I think we got a fish.
Coming up, the waiting is over.
What do you think, Sean?
And the danger begins.
I'm gonna wait back here.
What do you think, Sean?
Bat ray.
Bat ray, huh?
Unfortunately for me, a bat ray is not a shark.
Okay.
It's probably got a barb in it, so we want to watch out.
Right.
We'll catch right down here.
All right.
Now, we want to do with this is make a bag.
Right.
Be very careful the thing doesn't escape on us.
Okay.
Here it is. Watch out the spine.
Oh, yeah. Where's the stinger?
Right here on the back of the...
That's the part to avoid.
The place to grab is the spiracles here.
Right.
So they can breathe, entangle it, and knit.
Cool.
The holding pin.
And just like that.
Female. We got a tag recovery on this one.
This is one you've already...
This is the one we tagged from last year. Bat ring. See, the tag now is covered over with algae.
Oh, cool. Look at that.
You can scrape that off and read it. I can tell it's a tag from last year. It's on the left side, so I know that it's from the Long Valley.
Right.
So a different site within the reserve.
So he's had a good year.
It's a female. She's still here. And looking up in the database, and she's sure to have shown some growth since then. And you can see these little channels, little colorations there.
Yeah.
Branch out like little tree limbs, it looks like. Those are electroreceptors, and these guys can actually detect living animals that are burrowed up underneath the sediment.
What about teeth? They have teeth?
They have teeth, but they're like kind of pavement-like, and they got strong jaws, but they're not going to take a bite of flesh from you.
Right.
They're made to grab hold of things and crush up, you know, shelled creatures. But they can chomp on small fish and stuff like that, too.
Right.
The average shark and ray isn't menacing or glamorous at all. You know, you really do have to, you know, sift through hundreds and hundreds of species to even find one that's, you know, menacing or you know.
Well, with those sunglasses, you have a certain menacing quality that that I think really is going to live on for generations.
Not exactly a shark, but the day is still young.
That's Andy out there by the tide pole. At Leon right here. We're waiting for sharks. Is there a shark call or
not that we've mastered just yet. Our research has indicated they don't come when you whistle.
I was whistling earlier. I hope I didn't screw things up. What about food?
These wouldn't be the types of sharks you could attract with, say, like whale or cetacean blubber meat like that. These guys are looking for innkeeper worms and stuff like that. And it's not a real good bait source that we've used to do this type of monitoring program. As well, as opposed to attracting them, we're trying to detect them just as they're naturally coming and going.
Right. That's our best hope, is just to wait for them.
So you're literally trying to insinuate ourselves into this, where they're coming and going, and then, you know, when we catch them, take notes of who's in, who's out, that kind of thing.
There's a weird patch of warm water here, Sean.
I'm going to move over here.
I'm going to move over here.
These bubbles.
All right, so how much tape you got?
Fine.
Oh.
Got that.
Holy crap, we got something in the net here.
You got one, Andy?
Yep.
What is it? Great white? Mako?
Little batty. My little batty's Californiated.
The little one?
But bigger than the first one.
Yep, this is a new one. Probably less than 3 years old.
Yeah.
Well, the leopard sharks are playing hard to get, but the bat rays are bountiful. So we're going to measure them, and then I'll be doing whatever Sean tells me to do, I suppose.
TL, total length, 29. Disc width is 40. Clasper length, 4. Whip the tail away.
The bat rays will get measured and tagged. This method helps the researchers gauge the growth and viability of the bat rays out in the ocean.
Turn it. Perfect.
And that'll hold, huh?
Yep. Okay.
So off you go.
Yep.
There we go. So, basically,
my mission was to catch a shark. And we gave it a good try, and we got a couple of these bat rays, which really are what?
Hey, the more they study these rays, you realize they're just specialized sharks, flattened out compressed sharks.
Compressed sharks. So technically, mission accomplished. Go. Be free.
Think they bought that?
I hope not.
Well, Sean wasn't buying my shark logic.
Hey, it's a dirty job.
And neither was the network.
If you want to understand real terror, ladies, it's when a network executive is waiting for you to come back with Shark Week footage and there are no sharks to show them. That's scary.
To my great relief, the network gave me a second chance. And this time, we found sharks. Or should I say, the sharks found us.
You know, we're always on the lookout for new dirty jobs, so if you have one, this would be a great time to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and tell us all about it. Dirtier, the better. I mean, filthy. Find the top of grime and go right over it. That's okay with me. Don't hold back. You're still listening. You should be at the computer typing discovery.com/dirty jobs. Help me find the light.
So now there's a third cut, editors, as you're looking at all these, and you can, you know, fall back on all that creativity you did in editing school.
Editing school.
School.
Ready?
3, 2, 1. As you're looking at all these, fall back on all that creativity. My hiney hole hurts. Intercut. My hiney hole hurts. Imagine you're cutting a cutting-edge show. Anyway, cut it together, make it interesting. Oh, I'm grateful.